Welcome to another inspirational message from the traditional service at Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message from Pastor Richard Adams will encourage and bless you.
You know, when we look at the Bible, it's amazing because there's such continuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. A lot of people think, well, there really isn't, but there is. In the Old Testament, Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, I wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets. All of the Lord's people were prophets. And in the New Testament, we find Luke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit saying that there's going to be an outpouring on all flesh and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. There's a unified theme that runs through the scripture that God wants to speak through his people. God speaks to us and he wants to speak through us. The greatest prophet we know after Jesus was Elijah. We've been looking at Elijah. The spirit of Elijah was really expected to return. Even the Pharisees in the days of Jesus were expecting Elijah to return. They were looking for him, and they even were wondering perhaps maybe Jesus was Elijah himself, because we know Elijah was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he also was one that we find, most people believe, in the book of Revelation at the end of days, in the middle of the tribulation period, the two prophets that are going to be left dead on the streets of Jerusalem for three days or so, and they're going to be left dead there, and the media from around the world is going to be picturing them, and then all of a sudden they're going to rise from the dead, and these prophets are going to, they're going to call fire, going to come out of their mouths, fire, going to shut up heaven, no rain, going to turn water into blood, they're going to strike the earth with plagues. They're going to be in a battle with the Antichrist, and it's amazing what God has planned in the last days and how he has foretold it throughout scripture and how prophets have been used of old. And Elijah is probably one of the pivotal prophets in God's plan. And so is the prophetic church. Just like Elijah, throughout his particular ministry and in the end of days is going to be used, God says the church is also going to be used in a prophetic way. The last time we left Elijah, he was waiting. He was waiting by the brook east of the Jordan River. He had just made a prophetic announcement. He said, "It will not rain until I say it's going to rain." Oh, pretty powerful statement. He says, "It's not going to rain." Obviously, it was a word that came from God. Sometimes we can make up words, but when they come from God, we can speak it with a boldness. And he speaks this word. And now he's waiting. He's waiting. He makes this prophetic statement, and he's waiting. How many of you know we can get ahead of God like Abraham did when his zeal and ended up with Ishmael instead of Isaac? We can get ahead of ourselves if we're not careful, trying to fulfill God's plans and purposes. We have to recognize that it's in the timing of God. But waiting is extremely important. And God is waiting. He's waiting. And God is working on Elijah. He's working on him. He's also working on the king, on Ahab. How many know God is always at work? He doesn't take a day off. He's always working. And he's working on us. He's working on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's working on our culture today too. We don't see it as we might like to, but how many know he's working on the world and this culture? He's getting everything lined up. It seems as though the prophetic ministry is accentuated by waiting. Waiting seems to be something that is part of the prophetic ministry. And Elijah finds himself alone. Nothing to do but to drink water, to be fed by the ravens, and to pray for future guidance. What do we do when we're alone? That's a question we need to really be very conscious about. What do we do when we're alone? Are we preparing for the next step that God has for us? In Kings, 1 Kings 17 and 7, notice what happens to Elijah during the circumstances of his life. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So up until this point, God had been supplying his needs, everything that Elijah needed. Now he faces the consequences of his own prophecy. He prophesied there's going to be no rain. Now there's no rain and the brook dries up. How many know it's easy to worship when things are going well? Pastor Ken made a great prophetic statement this morning, if you were listening very clearly. We need to worship. We need to worship, especially when things are not going well. When things are going well, it's easy to worship, but when things are not going well, that's when we really need to worship, because when we enter into worship, we are making a shift from looking at our problems to looking at the Lord. That's the shift that takes place. There's a transition. We no longer are worried about our problems. Now all of a sudden we're expecting the Lord to minister to us. There's a shift taking place. When we worry, we become the problem. As soon as you start worrying, all of a sudden you yourself become the instigator of your own problems. When we worry, we become miserable people and we make everybody else miserable around us. You see, whatever our focus is, that's what floods our body with either light or darkness, whatever your focus is. And Elijah, he still has the ravens that are feeding him. I surely would rather have lobster than what the ravens are bringing me, but he's getting something to eat. And the ravens are taking care of him, but water now becomes the issue. Now, Elijah should have realized that eventually there's going to be no water. He prophesied it. He should have recognized that there's going to be no water. It's going to be an issue. We should, as a church, realize that eventually there's going to come a place, should the Lord tarry and the rapture doesn't take us, that the mark of the beast is going to be forced upon us or you're going to die. There'll be no eating, no drinking, no buying, no selling. Today is the day of salvation. This is the day. One day the door is going to be closed. You can knock all you want, but that door will not open. This is the day the door opens for salvation. The world one day will be dumbfounded. They won't understand it at all. They'll stand aghast, and yet they should have expected it. Should it surprise us? If we mock God, can we get away with mocking him forever? Should we be amazed at those that laugh at the divine warnings that God brings to the earth, that they're finally going to be destroyed? They should have recognized it. Elijah may have thought that the prophetic word would not affect him. I'm speaking this prophetic word, but it's not going to affect me. The church may not believe that judgment will not come to it, but God says judgment begins with the house of God. We might not think that we need to repent, but we do need to repent. When Elijah is affected by his prophetic word, he may have thought, did I get it right? Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I missed it. I'm in this mess myself. The brook is dried up. God, you said that I could be fed and you'd take care of me and that I could drink from this brook. You promised that you'd take care of me, but now all of a sudden, I'm thirsty. God, you should have let every other brook in Israel dry up, but not this brook. You should have left this brook running. The ravens kept feeding him, and he could have fed for 40 days, but you know you can't live without water, without a miracle for 3 days. Especially in Israel, if you've been there in the climate, it's so dry. If you're on the bus, you're drinking water, 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 because in Israel, it's dry. God, you're not taking care of me like you promised you would. Now, maybe some of you will feel like that. You're here today. You feel like Elijah. You got a word from the Lord. Everything went well for a while, but now all of a sudden, finances are in a turmoil, emotional distress, physically broken, relationally you seem alone, it seemed like your brook has dried up. Lord, we need a river of life. Lord, would you just pour out? I speak to the river. I speak to the river of life. And I pray, Lord, that the river of life would quench the thirsty soul. I pray that the waters would flow, that broken hearts would be restored. I pray, God, that you would just give spiritual sight, that you temper the wind of the shorn lamb and those that have been hurt by the church, your people. Let your brook flow through their lives, and may they be healed in the name of Jesus. See, God is preparing us for our future, but it demands that our faith and obedience be tested and be strengthened. We have people in this church who recently just got the wind that came through these last few days, crashed into their house. They've been without a place, and I called them on the phone, and they said, "Pastor, you're not going to believe how good the Lord is taking care of us." We all go through trials, don't we? But the Lord cares for us. Every one of us are going to feel these experiences of being deserted or being left alone. But they said, the Lord is with us. Though we have no place to live, the Lord has given us a beautiful place, and everything is good, and our insurance is going to cover everything, and everything's going to be taken care of. But all of us experience these moments. We may even feel like God has forsaken us, that he may not hear our prayers. It usually happens right when we're in the middle of a fiery trial. We get these things that come into our life, and all of a sudden we begin to feel like maybe this is the moment. And we start to cast the first stone against God, and we start to blame him for something. How many of you know it's not God? God is on our side. When we're experiencing the greatest challenges we've ever faced, it's in these particular moments that we've got to realize that God is with us. And when the brook dries up, we still have to realize God is with us. We must have this faith like Job had. He lost his livelihood. He went through great trials, lost his family, lost his health, but he never lost his faith. We can never lose our faith. Though he slay me, I'll still serve him. I will hope in him. As a prophetic people, and don't let that word prophetic throw you off. Some people will abuse it. But God says we are to be prophetic, not pathetic, prophetic. Amen. Don't let it throw you off. The world thinks you are pathetic, but you're not. You're prophetic. That means God speaks through you. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Peace is not the absence of chaos. Peace is a person. It's the Prince of Peace. In me, Jesus says, you have peace. It's in Christ is where we find our peace. We need to learn not to be surprised when a person lets us down. Don't be surprised. The Bible reminds us not to put our trust in princes or in presidents. We put our trust in the Lord. I thank the Lord for my two boys. My wife and I have had struggles having children, some of you know. We have five of them in heaven, and it's always been a struggle. We have two wonderful boys. Both of them are miracles, truly miracles, but we have a wonderful family in heaven. I can't wait to get there. My mother's there, and she already has grandchildren in heaven. And I'll tell you, God is amazing. He's amazing. I put my trust in him. He's amazing. And even when our children weren't healed, we said, "God, we still love you. We still serve you. We still will honor you." Faith in him. Even when the brook dries up, "God, I'm still going to love you. Still going to put you first." Don't be surprised if the prophetic word that God speaks to you affects your life. Yeah. Don't be surprised. Keep your faith. We like it when we give a prophetic word to someone else. But if that word affects us negatively, we don't like it so much. Elijah lived under the prophetic judgment of God that he gave. No rain. The brook dried up. America's been receiving warnings of impending judgments for quite a while. God's been warning us. Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 12, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, if a country sins against me by being unfaithful and I stretch out my hand against it to cut it off, its food supply, send famine upon it, kill its people and their animals, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they could save only themselves by their righteousness, declares the sovereign Lord. Even the presence of the church is not going to stop God's wrath from coming upon this earth. It will not. The effect of judgment on everyone reminds us that sin affects everyone. Everyone is affected by it. That's why the blood of Jesus is so necessary for the cleansing of the blood. Now, all of us are different. People are different in every different ways. Cultures are different. Races are different. Intelligence is different. But we all have one thing in common. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each and every person. People often point to New England as one of the most liberal areas in America. They point to us. You could take and move to Peachtree, Georgia. It's a community where everybody drives a golf cart everywhere you go. Beautiful homes, gated community. You could move there, but you're going to find people are the same. All have sinned. Hearts are deceitful. Nature has been corrupted. You cannot move away from sin. It affects cities. It affects politicians. It affects businessmen. It affects governments and even churches. Sitting in church, we all look like angels. But you push the right button, and out will come horns and pitchforks. And words that can peel paint off of the wall. A couple Sundays ago, I was in the fellowship hour having a cup of coffee, and a man came to me and he spoke to me, and he says he goes and he works out in a gym. And when he was working out in a gym, he met an individual, and this man was using four-letter words like a drunken sailor. And he said to him, he says, don't I know you? And he says, well, I don't know, maybe you do. He says, do you go to Bethany? He says, yes, I do. All of a sudden, his language became sanctified. It became clear. In church, you can look like an angel, talk like an angel, walk like an angel, but you're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Thank you very much. Not very good, but you got my point. You see, for Elijah, the brook drying up came at the wrong time. He probably thought, how can things get any worse? I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore, but you can. With God, you can take it. He gives you the strength to get through. When the brook dried up, Elijah knew that he couldn't stay where he was, that he had to move. When things in your life change, remember, God has a plan for your life. We can't stay where we are. We go from glory to glory, from grace to grace. Sometimes we don't want to move, and sometimes we don't want to change. But God has something more for us, something better for us. He's always wanting us to move forward. In order to get us to do that, sometimes the brook has to dry up. To get our attention, God allows an experience or an encounter, and sometimes it takes the worst kind of experience to change our perspective. Unless our thinking, unless a stone is removed, we're never going to experience that resurrected life. Your provision, your miracle that God has for you is only one word away. One inspirational moment when you're willing to pursue what others have ignored. When you're willing to do and go the second mile. When you put your faith in action and you begin to say, "Yes, Lord." See, this is the day of salvation. You may say, "Pastor, I need a little more time." God gives everyone enough time. He gives us enough time. And all, one day, will stand before our Creator. And when we stand before Him, what will we say? There's only one answer that will do. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. The third day, He rose from the dead, and He is alive. He's alive. He's in my heart. In the first service, most of you come, you're saved. Once in a while, we find someone that doesn't know Christ. You can't stay where you are. You need to move toward the kingdom. One step toward God, He takes a step towards you. But you have to make a step and move towards Him. If your brook is dried up and you feel like you have no hope, Jesus is the answer. This will take courage on your part, but if you're here this morning and you need Jesus, I wanted to ask you to do one thing. Simply acknowledge that fact by raising a hand and saying, "Pastor, pray for me." Anyone here, courage enough, thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Balcony. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you, sir, for that hand. Thank you for that. Pastor Stephen says it best. He always says that this prayer won't save you, but when you reach out with your heart by asking Jesus to forgive you and come into your life, He will respond. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become children of God. Simply by raising your hand, you're acknowledging your need. But I want to lead you all in a simple prayer. It's not the closing of this ceremony, of this church service, but for you it is. It's a time for you to make your heart filled with the joy of the Lord by opening it up and asking Christ to forgive you of your sins. So would you pray this prayer with me, and all of you just pray with me? And if you raised your hand and you'd just like to stand to your feet, I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but just stand and pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I open my heart. I recognize my sin, that I need a Savior. So today, I ask You, forgive me of every sin. Come into my heart. Change my life. Make me a new creation. I thank You for hearing this prayer. I believe that You are God, that You took my place and rose from the dead. Now may Your resurrected life live in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Usually in Bethany, we have three times we come to the altar because the altar is so important to us. The first time is when we have time for healing prayer. We ask you to come if you are sick in body. Some of you come for others who are sick. The Bible says, call for the elders of the church. The idea of calling for the elders of the church is that there is a movement forward, is that either the elder may be coming to you or you're coming to the elder. So in the church service, when we call, you call for the elders of the church. You come forward to be anointed by oil. You are making a move towards God, and we are praying for you. Usually that is for your physical healing, for those of you that are ill. Some of you come for other people. We want you to come for other people. We want you to do that. But in all honesty, if you want to be biblical, it's you. If you're sick, you should come forward. You should be the one coming forward. You shouldn't let somebody else come for you. You come. You come to be prayed for. Salvation, that's the way it is. No one can make that call for you. You, whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord. By raising your hand, you've called upon the name of the Lord. By praying this prayer, you've called upon the name of the Lord. So those are two altar times. The third altar time usually is sometimes at the end of the service when we ask those of you, you have other needs that you want to pray for, other things that you need to ask God for, other things that you want to solidify in your own heart. Will open the altar usually at the end of some of those services. So generally that's what we do, but we encourage you to come to the altar, whether it's for salvation, healing, or for some other prayer. You see, Elijah, the prophet, he showed strength in the midst of adversity. What will you and I do when the brook dries up for us? When the brook dries, because there are going to be times in all of our life when the brook dries. Elijah, interestingly, he didn't pray for rain. He needed water. But what he really knew, he needed a word from God. That's what he needed. You get a word from God when you come to the altar, when you respond to him. When you respond wherever you are, you'll get a word from him when you ask him and you come to him. He needed to get a word from God, and God usually leads us one step at a time. He doesn't give you the whole sentence. He doesn't give you the paragraph or the whole story, but one word at a time is the way he leads you. And the prophetic church trusts that God will lead it each step at a time. We are believing as Bethany that God's going to lead us one step at a time. And God's never late, and he's never early. He's always right on time. The prophetic church learns to accept when there's a closed door. When the brook dries up, it's always preparing for some surprise that God's going to bring, a window that God's going to open. How many know God is full of surprises? And he's preparing this church for the greatest moment in its history. There is going to be a great harvest of souls, and he's preparing us for it. He's positioning us under the anointing of a prophetic witness that God has given to us in the end of days. His presence will inflame the desire to serve him, to be a witness for him, to do great exploits for the Lord. He's going to inspire us. And I believe Bethany is going to be a great church that's filled with a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We will not be left without a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice in 1 Kings chapter 17, as I close the service, in verse number 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. That's what he was waiting for. A word came to Elijah, said, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So Elijah has a door closed. The brook dries up. Now all of a sudden he needs another door to open up. And the Lord says, go to Zarephath. Zarephath is outside of Israel. It's not in the church, if you will. It's outside of Israel. It's a Phoenician city in the Mediterranean. It's a foreign land. Gentiles live there. It's not a Jewish place. And God sends Elijah to the Gentiles, not to Israel. The church must never become ingrown. It must always reach out to the unsaved with a word from the Lord. We must always be about our Father's business. Father, we thank you as we recognize that you, Lord, take care of your church. It's a prophetic church. It's a church that hears your word and speaks your word. And when a brook dries up, Lord, we look for a new divine direction, a word from you. And so we're trusting you in our families, in our own personal life with you. We're trusting you as a church, and we're believing, Lord, that you're going to pour out a prophetic spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org. Have you been hoping that things would have changed by now? Have you cried all the faith you have through so many tears? It's like the brightest sunrise, waiting on the other side of the darkest night. Don't ever lose hope, hold on and believe. Maybe you just haven't seen it, just haven't seen it yet. You're closer than you think you are, only moments from the break of dawn. All his promises are just up ahead. Maybe you just haven't seen it, just haven't seen it yet. We can't see it, but we believe that he is.